Good morning and welcome to the conversation for this Aloha Friday. I'm Chris Vandercook. Good morning, Beth Ann.
Good morning.
Looking at the pros and cons of cane burning.
And we've been doing that for a while. We're going to continue that conversation this morning. Now, on Maui, the practice of cane burning consternation has turned to anger. A community group took it to the courts with a lawsuit filed earlier this summer and more recently an injunction scheduled for hearing next month. The director of the Department of Health and Alexander and Baldwin, the parent company of Hawaiian Commercial and Sugar Company, are named as defendants. The premise is the legal challenge is a violation of public trust by disregarding public health, according to the group Stop Cane Burning. But HCNS takes a very different view, and General Manager Rick Vollner is in our studio this morning to talk about it with us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Beth Ann. Thank you for having us.
When we talked with the attorney for Stop Cane Burning, the central issue that they say is just something that HCNS is disregarding is public trust, and that's being violated because of the health concerns over the cane burning, in part because not only just the sheer volume of smoke that's coming out, but because of the use of glyphosate on the plants before they're burned, and that when it's liberated, it's causing a different element to be present in the smoke. How do you answer them?
Well, first of all, as a fifth generation Maui resident, my great-great-grandparents actually came to Hawaii to work on the sugar plantation. So it's, to me personally, I'm very saddened to see a lawsuit like this take place, challenging a agricultural tool that's used widely across all 50 states throughout the world. And this practice of agricultural burning is critical to the success of our sugar operation on Maui. It's critical to the success of many agricultural operations across the nation. The issue with glyphosate, we've been using ripeners. The entire sugar industry has been using ripeners for decades. So this is not a new issue. This is not something that just started. The use of ripeners is prevalent throughout the sugar industry, not only here in Hawaii, but throughout Florida, Louisiana, Texas, all places that utilize ripeners and utilize agricultural burning as part of their harvesting techniques.
Part of the conversation about the tradition of cane burning, as you've talked about it, is that, though, that the changes in how it's done have to do with what chemicals are put on the plants. So that cane burning, say, in 1920 isn't the same thing as cane burning in 1980. When you talk about the ripeners that are used, the glyphosate, how much is actually used per acre?
It's a very small amount. Less than a coffee cup of material is actually applied per acre, of which the glyphosate, the active ingredient, is a very small percentage of that. So it's a very minute amount that's used in the ripener, but it's critical to getting that sugarcane ripened to the point where it's ready for harvest, especially in Hawaii where weather can be very unpredictable.
So what do you say to an organization like Stop Cane Burning that says, but public health is at risk because of this?
I would say that there are no studies that show that this is a public health risk. In fact, there are studies that were conducted going back to the late 80s, in Hawaii, specifically at HCNS, by HIOSH, by NIOSH, CDC, University of Hawaii, that all show that there are no health risks for our employees, our workers, or even the general public.
And in places around the world where glyphosate is questionable?
Again, glyphosate as a herbicide is widely used. In fact, it's the most popular herbicide around the world because it is a very effective herbicide, very cost-effective, as well as the efficacy. When you're doing a crop management program, if used properly, all herbicides, if used properly, are a tool for farmers. And we utilize glyphosate, again, as a ripener. We also utilize it as a herbicide from time to time in our fields. We have not seen anything that shows us that it's dangerous. We continue to look at the best available information and make decisions. Like any good business, like any good farmer, you're continuously looking to improve your operation, look at better tools for you to utilize.
If next month the injunction happens and you're stopped from doing business as you've been doing it with the cane burning, what we have heard is that will mean the loss of jobs. when Lance Collins was here talking about filing that injunction, he said that, well, that's a spurious argument because the industry has been looking at shutting down anyway because of market forces with sugar, and that, you know, that may happen simply because of another reason entirely. What's your counter argument to that?
We obviously, as a business, are always looking at external forces. You're always looking at production levels, always looking at pricing. Sugar is obviously a very challenging business. There are many low-cost producers around the world that we have to compete with. But agriculture in general is a very tough business. So as we look at how best to utilize our lands, we're always looking at what could be the next best crop that we could grow, what could be the next best thing we could utilize on our resources. We've long said that we're not a sugar company, we're an agricultural company that happens to be growing sugarcane at this time. Should the injunction or this lawsuit be successful, it would be devastating to the sugar business. We would not be able to continue farming sugarcane in the Central Valley of Maui, and that would be devastating, you know, to HCNS and to the local economy.
Are you looking, though, at other crops? Because the market forces aren't necessarily going to change, as you just mentioned. A lot of places are growing it far more cheaply than can be done on Maui, despite the long, 140-year history that it's been done. So what do you look at as being next as that transition to something that you would hope would be more profitable and, well, that would keep a lot of jobs still there on Maui?
I tell people all the time, and sometimes I get strange looks, but we literally planted the first sugarcane crop 143 years ago. And 142 years ago, we started looking at alternatives. And that's what good businesses, that's what good farmers do. You're always looking for how best you could utilize your resources, the land, the water, the people that you have available. And that's been our philosophy from the very beginning. And we continue to look at ways that we could better utilize our resources, better utilize agricultural land. We are committed at Alexander & Baldwin and at HCNS to keep 36,000 acres in agriculture in the Central Valley of Maui, preserve jobs, you know, do the things that we think are necessary to keep Maui, our home, the way it is.
So, Rick, does that mean that you're looking at issues of food security and growing food? Or does that mean that you're looking at, say, feedstocks or both of those things, given the fact that you've got some real variance in what you can grow on those acres?
We are looking at a diverse portfolio of things that could help with both food and energy security. We've been extremely focused over the last few years looking at biofuels production with our central kind of core lands. And we feel that we can grow feedstock very well, better than anyone else probably in the world. But what's really missing at this point is that technology to take that agricultural feedstock and turn it into a high-value biofuel, an advanced biofuel like drop-in jet fuel or marine diesel. But that still is a very critical part of our strategy as we look at redeploying those lands.
Do you have any timeline for that kind of transition?
We are still, again, looking at technologies that could make that possible.
Or even the food side of it, because we always hear that we don't grow enough to be able to feed ourselves. We've got some great agricultural land that's not being used for the benefit of feeding people and putting food on their tables.
Yeah. Any transition at HCNS would basically result in transitioning all of our acreage. As soon as we start taking out significant portions of lands from sugarcane production, it really changes the economics of the business because we have so many fixed costs embedded in the business, the mill, the power plant, the infrastructure. So taking out significant acreage for food production or biofuels production would really signal or really require the transition of all the acreage into a diversified portfolio.
But if we're talking to each other, let's say 3 years from now, do you see that there would be a transition already in place? But again, that's, I know you're going to tell me it's based on the technology part of it, but from what you know of where that is, do you have any bead on when that might be?
I could not give you a definite answer, but I would say in the future, again, we're an agricultural company. I expect HCNS to be, you know, a part of the Maui community going forward, and probably most likely growing something other than sugarcane for both energy and food.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you very much for coming over.
Thank you.
To be here. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Rick Vollner is the general manager of HCNS. He was born and raised on Maui. He is treasurer of the Maui County Farm Bureau, president of the Hawaii Agricultural Research Center. The injunction to stop cane burning is scheduled to be heard on September 16th.